This hour of Kevin Miller in the Morning is brought to you by Tway Travel, your adventure travel specialists. Fighting for America.
And I think I need not remind anyone on this committee, like any American, Sergeant Bergdahl has rights, and his conduct will be judged on the facts, not political hearsay, posturing, charges, or innuendo.
Fighting for Idaho.
Hoping for the sake of the family that you all will go away and leave the family alone, let the process work, and let them get back to their normal lives.
Fighting for you.
Kevin, we cannot go on like this with nothing except speculation up in the media. I mean, he deserves better. We deserve better.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning.
I appreciate the chance to be with you again, brother. I look forward to being back out in Idaho. Thanks, Semper Fi.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the Morning. Oh, my goodness. Oh, the World Cup people continue to attack me. My friend Nicholas Lorden, Facebooking my brother. Your brother is losing his marbles and boycotting the World Cup. Funny thing is, in mentioning his boycott so much, he's kind of promoting it. Well, yes, Nick, I lost my marbles a long time ago, but we'll continue on with objective coverage of the World Cup. I just don't see it. Do you? I don't see it. Of course, you know, you go back to the Vava Zuzu or whatever that was called. Do you remember this? Oh, my goodness. Are we going to bring that thing back? Anyway, on a more serious note, we're joined by our great friend, Colonel Tim Marsano of the Idaho Air and Army National Guard. Colonel Marsano, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin.
Good to have you with us here at 580 KIDO. First of all, the situation in Iraq, does that have any impact on what's going on here in Idaho at all?
Well, I remember at the very, very beginning of after September 11, 2001, what we said was, you know, we're willing, ready, and able to do whatever needs to be done. So I wouldn't say that we're necessarily preparing for any particular, you know, military operation, but we're always ready.
Well, it is and here I'm going to, I guess, ask you for a personal perspective, if you will, because we sent so many troops over. We had such success. In fact, you look at the Idaho National Guard, they were the ones that, you know, were responsible mainly for turning over Camp Victory, Camp Liberty to the Iraqis. There was one more unit there, but they were doing the heavy lifting when it came to the transitioning from American control to the Iraqi control.
Yep, and I can tell you that not only for the National Guard here in Idaho, but for my brothers and sisters in the military all over the country, we're watching this situation in Iraq with a lot of different emotions. As you can imagine, it's a really difficult thing to see territory that our men and women fought and bled for now in the hands of our enemies. So, yeah, it's a difficult situation, Kevin, without a doubt.
You know, I sit there and I think of just the insight that we had in our, you know, going there and being a part of this with you and just all the hard work. And you sit there and you go, and again, ours is not the reason why, but you just sit there and you go, wow, could this all be happening again? And as you said, if that does, the Guard folks in Idaho will be ready to go.
That's exactly right. You know, it's really hard to say what the future is going to bring. But, yeah, we're looking at that situation as well as a whole bunch of different situations around the world. And, you know, we're always looking for what might happen next. And like I said before, we're ready to go.
Well, that's why training is so important, where you have these training cycles and so you're ready to go, whether you have to gear up at Fort Hood or Camp Shelby or anywhere. There is a method to it.
That's exactly right. You know, people see our A-10s flying over the valley, heading back and forth to our training ranges in the southern part of the state, some of the best training ranges in the world, by the way. And they wonder what it is exactly that our guys do out there. And I can tell you that not only do our guys train, men and women train down in the A-10s for the things that they might face over an open country, like, for example, Iraq, but they also train over the city of Boise for urban close air support. So Idaho offers some of the best training ranges that I can conceive of for the A-10 mission, as well as some of the best tank training ranges and small arms training ranges that we have in the desert just south of here that I know you've been out to.
Well, and you know, it's funny. The other day I was at church and I thought of just some of the adventures that this audience has been so blessed to be a part of, and being at the training ranges and being out there where it's like 0500 and people are, you know, in a certain mood. And I remember, hey, Miller, you're talking too loud. Let the troops sleep. It was just one of those experiences, a bonding experience that the troops have at such a higher level. And And hopefully, again, Colonel Marzano, I know that you're a professional and you won't get into lobbying. In my opinion, that's why the A-10 program is so important. So we hope that Congressman Simpson and the rest of the delegation continues to fight for it, because it is an important part of our national defense.
You know, we'd be very sad to see it go, but we totally understand that its days are numbered. It's a third, fourth generation aircraft, and what we're up to now is these F-35s being fifth generation aircraft. The problem with the A-10 is, as fantastic as it is, it cannot fly unsupported into a combat zone. It needs to have that overhead fighter support that the F-35 can do in and of itself, as well as take out targets on the ground. So, yeah, we know that the A-10's days are numbered. We're going to be very sad to see it go, but we were very sad to see the F-4G Wild Weasel go, probably the best plane ever conceived for its mission. But, you know, we lost that in 1996, and the world kept on spinning.
Colonel Tim Marzano joining us here at 580KIDO, and, you know, it's just amazing, and I'm just laughing at the brilliance of our military, Colonel, where we can, in fact, go from one generation to another. And it doesn't happen without a lot of experience, a lot of work, a lot of sacrifice by our troops, both Guard, Reserve, and active duty.
You're right. As a matter of fact, my own days are numbered here. I'm looking towards retirement next year. So not only generations as far as our equipment goes, but generations, you know, it's a long, long line. Somebody else took off the uniform in order for me to put it on, and I'm going to look forward to my time out of uniform so that somebody else can step up and move into my position. So it's a pretty smooth transition, and I'm very proud to be a part of it, frankly.
Well, we're not going to like them already. We don't like anybody but you. Anyway, Colonel Tim Marzano joining us here at 580KIDO. Colonel, you know, a couple weeks ago we're at this news conference. It looked like mission accomplished, and you know, you and I had talked before there would be some the turbulence here with Sergeant Bergdahl returning. Your thoughts on just what everybody is going through, as much as you can comment on it.
I mean, it's a challenging time for Mr. and Mrs. Bergdahl, for sure. I've been working with them very closely for, as you know, 5 years, and that continues. And we're taking our cues from General Martin Dempsey, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, who said, and I'm going to quote here, when it came to the circumstances of his release, we're looking forward to finding out the facts. Like any American, he's innocent until proven guilty, and our Army's leaders are not going to look away from misconduct if it occurred. In the meantime, we're going to continue to care for him and his family, and we are still doing that. We're not missing a beat on taking care of his family, and that's my lane, along with the good Major Kevin Hickey. I know that you spoke with Blaine County Commissioner Larry Schoen last week, and I was up there in Haley supporting the family, and I got to hear it online, and it was a great interview, and he had some fantastic things to say. You know, there's two issues here. The first thing is the sacred duty to get a soldier back, that we don't leave anybody on the battlefield. And the second issue is, you know, if there is misconduct, as General Dempsey said, we're looking into it. And I know that the two-star general was appointed just yesterday. His name was announced, General Dahl, to do just that very thing. So, you know, we're gonna see things take its course here and just find out what really happened.
Yeah, Colonel, but you know, at 580KIDO, then there's the human side of the story, and a story that the Bergdahl family has been very strong, very resolute. You've worked with them from the very beginning. You knocked on their door. You've seen them through this process. And to be diplomatic here, it's unfortunate that we have such a visceral reaction, that the folks in Haley were worried about their security. You have people that are, you know, on the right, I'll say it, uninformed about the background of this story, making these charges against Bob and Janney.
Yeah, it's a tough time. I know you got involved, and I think you took a little bit of heat for doing what you did to support this Idaho family. Nobody ever claimed that Bo Bergdahl was a hero, and I think Commissioner Schoen really did a nice job of stating it. You know, what these threats, not only against Mr. and Mrs. Bergdahl, but against others who have supported the family during this long, difficult time. I'm just going to quote what he said here. I'm looking at the text of his speech. It's unfair to terrorize good-hearted Americans who have supported a family who have only proven to their son what many parents often say to their children, that a parent's love is unconditional. Bob and Janney have proven this with their words and deeds for 5 long years, and that community supported them. So it is unfair, Kevin, to see a community terrorized when all they did was wrap their arms around another community member.
Colonel Tim Marzano joining us, 580KIDO. And, you know, going back to Bob and Janney, they're, you know, in the game of the press, oh, we want to hear your side of the story and everything else. You know, it's a blessing, I think, that they didn't talk to the press, considering just the negativity that's come out of this. And I would hope, as you've said, as the commissioner said, as others have said, as we've said here, you know, let the process play out. Ollie North even said that on this program. Let the process play out. It's not fair to the young man.
That's
and his
exactly
family.
Right. It's not fair to the soldier. It's not fair to his parents. So let the process play out. I'm not sure that Mr. and Mrs. Bergdahl really could have said anything over the course of the last 2 weeks that wouldn't have added fuel to the fire. You know, it's a lot of people were looking for interviews with him. At my last count, there were probably 150 requests, and those requests come from me or come through me to the parents, and I've passed them all on, but they've chosen to disregard them to this point. So, again, I think that they're taking the high road here.
Colonel Tim Marsano with us here at 580KIDO. Now, there's a program that you're very proud of that you'd like the public to know about concerning the young people here in Idaho. Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, yeah, it's the Idaho Youth Challenge Academy, and we stood up our first class of about 80 youth between the ages of 16 and 18 just this last January, and they're going to graduate this Saturday, so we're very proud to see these young men and women moving on. And they're kids between 16 and 18 who have either dropped out of high school or are at risk of doing so. This school is a state school. It's publicly funded. Doesn't cost anybody anything other than the state and federal governments, and it's located up in the north part of the country near Orofino in a little town called Pierce. The graduation is going to happen here, but if anybody out there is interested in knowing more about this great program, go to www.idyouthchallenge.com. We're going to stand up the next class next month in July, and it's about a 22-week course, and then again in January of next year. So great program. We're real proud of it, and it's General Saylor's baby, if you will. He's really worked hard to get this program into the state. About 30 states around the country have it. And again, the first class graduates this Saturday here in Boise.
That's a great accomplishment, Colonel Marsano. And you think of just with the announcement of the Albertsons Foundation and others still trying to figure out how to get more kids to graduate in Idaho, it's great that we have this program.
Well, I want to give props to the Albertson Foundation because they've been a major contributor to it. A lot of the money, you know, we had the state of Idaho had to go out and beat the bushes because the legislature didn't see fit to help us pay for the initial startup costs. So a lot of that money was through fundraising. Now that it's up and running, it's much more smooth. But the initial cost to get the building, for example, up to speed, a lot of that came from the Albertsons Foundation. So, yeah, great, great organization, as are the other great donors who have helped this program get up and running.
Now, let me ask you something. How much longer do you have in your service there?
Me personally, 14 months at this
point. Oh, that's a lifetime in radio. Heck.
Oh, it's a long time. Yep, no doubt.
Heck, I might be gone before you.
Well, I look forward to continue this great relationship that we've got in the meantime.
Yes, sir. Well, I'm going to be lost without you.
Ditto, Kevin.
Well, thank you, Colonel Marsano.
Thank you, Kevin. Good to talk with you.
Have a great day.
You too.
Bye-bye. That's our friend, Colonel Tim Marsano. And really, you know, you think of just our troops and just the beauty of what they are. And, you know, it's funny, if you missed it last hour, we started a segment called Hate Millie Hate Mail or something like that. I guess that's redundant. But I just, I go back to all of you that did so much. Our great veterans, our great heroes, our great heroes. And how proud we are of you. And you know, the veterans, they don't want anything special. The veterans, they don't want the ticker tape parades. You know, that's why, you know, we struggle sometimes on what we can do for them. But to go into that country and to do what you did to liberate that country and now to see where it's gone, I hope we don't go back. And we'll talk a little bit about it. I just go back to our time over there and the sacrifice. And nothing says it better than that song that HG and I put together in the old days. You know, when we think about the war, when we think about the troops, when we think about what was lost, when we think about Iraq and Syria right now, I think of the troops that did go there and did share their stories with us. What an amazing sacrifice that you all had. Coming up, we'll talk a little bit about that. And one member of our congressional delegation goes big time. We'll hear from that interview next, plus your thoughts. Kevin Miller in the morning. It is 46 right now in Star. Let's get you to work safely.
Sean Hannity, weekday afternoons at 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Dempsey cutting inside the box.
Dempsey's in! Dempsey has to post it in! The U.S. has scored!
Jermaine Jones will run on to it and just try to kill the clock, and he's done it. U.S. wins 2-1 in dramatic fashion.
And when this thing is all over on July 13th, whoever wins will be a true world champion.
Kevin Miller in the morning here. Very exciting there. How excited are you about the World Cup? Oh, I love the World Cup. Come on. We look at it every 4 years. We beat Ghana. Where is Ghana? Where is Ghana? Is Ghana good? Facebook, Twitter. I love the World Cup. Come on. If you eat bacon for breakfast, do you like the World Cup? If you have caffeinated coffee, not the latte schmate, but the caffeinated coffee. If you're smoking the Marlboros with your bottle of Jack, are you really down with the World Cup? How really American is this? I digress. More coming up on the World Cup bashing episode of Kevin Miller in the Morning at 580KIDO. Earlier this morning, Congressman Raul Labrador was on Fox and Friends talking about his long-shot candidacy to become the majority whip in our never-ending quest to give you the best information. At 580KIDO with Kevin Miller in the morning, let's take a listen.
Sophomore Republican Congressman from Idaho, Raul Labrador. Congressman, you got 2 days to get 118 votes. How close are you?
You know, we're close. We still have a lot of work to do, but we're talking to a lot of people. A lot of people are switching their votes, and they're really excited about having somebody challenging the establishment right now. Just it's important for us to show that we need a new direction in the party.
What do you think that Kevin McCarthy will do as House Majority Leader that you would do better?
You know, I think what I can do is bring the party together, bring the conference together much better than Kevin McCarthy. What we've had is kind of a top-down approach where, you know, you talk to members of Congress and they feel like they're totally irrelevant. One of my friends told me that he feels that 80% of the conference feels like they're irrelevant because everything's done by the leadership. I want every member to contribute. I want every member to participate in the process and to know that their ideas, whether they're good or bad, they're going to be heard. They're going to be heard in the committees, and if they pass the committee, they're going to be heard on the House floor. I want there to actually be a 72-hour waiting period before we vote on any legislation. We actually had that as the pledge to America when we won the House in 2010, and we violated that pledge numerous times on the House floor. I think it's time for us to actually stand up and tell the American people what we believe. I think we have a problem with our messaging. The American people know that we're against Barack Obama, that we don't like his policies, but they don't really know what we're for. And that's what I think a majority leader should be doing, is sending that message to America of the five or six things that we would do.
So how much easier would it be if John Boehner was in your corner?
Well, you know, it would be much easier if the entire leadership team was in my corner. It would also be much easier if I was coordinated. But the great thing about Congress is that we don't have that ability. It should be the members of Congress that make the decision. Each individual member needs to judge which direction they want the party to go.
So, Congressman, a lot of people are saying, hey, you know, you made a difference. You're very strong on the Sunday shows, but you're kind of new. You haven't been there that long. What do you say to them?
You know, that's a good point. I tried for 3 days to get Jeb Hensarling and Jim Jordan to run for this position. They wouldn't do it. They each had their own reasons for not doing it. And I just didn't think it was appropriate for just a member of leadership to just ascend to the throne. You know, that's not what this should be about. It should be about representing the values of the conference and making sure that the conference can decide for itself which direction it wants to go.
Win or lose, you clearly have an important vote for the party and the country. Congressman, thanks so much, and best of luck on Thursday.
Hey, thank you. It's great to be on your show.
I think he says that to everybody, great to be on your show. Anyway, there you have it. Congressman Labrador detailing his plans to challenge Kevin McCarthy, the House whip. He says he's close. Your thoughts on this? Is he setting himself up for a big fall, or is he standing up for you? Does it matter to you here in the Treasure Valley, all of you people that love the congressman at 580-5436, 580-KIDO, that he, in fact, is doing this. Is it a movement for the people or for him? You decide. Let's talk about it next. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays noon till 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
7:37 in the World Cup free edition of Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580 KIDO. Taking a gamble. Unlike all other media personalities in the Treasure Valley and in the country that are perpetrating the propaganda of the World Cup and how great it is for all of us, well, I don't know about you, but my life hasn't changed, and that's nice that we had some kids kick a ball through a net. But on the other hand, are you really excited about it? I don't see it. By the way, there is one person who's really pumped. His name is...
Another reason I love soccer, you don't have all those advertisements interrupting the game.
Yeah.
It's a free-flowing athletic contest.
Just something about Harry Reid saying free-flowing is kind of disturbing to me this early in the morning. But he's a big fan of the soccer team. Why? Because it's all about diversity.
Our unique connection to the U.S. men's soccer players stems from the team's composition.
Yeah.
The roster is a reflection of America itself. It's diversity, but yet it's unity.
Yes, it's diversity, yet it's unity. Harry, how are we doing on the border? How are we doing on sovereignty? You know, it's funny. I was watching the Sunday shows. What else do I have to do on a Sunday besides go to church? So I'm watching the Sunday shows, and everybody's talking about we need immigration reform. Well, why don't we just enforce the borders right now? It's really that simple. Joining us now, our great friend live from London, Simon Owen of Fox News Radio. Simon, good morning.
Morning, Kevin.
Not a good morning in Iraq and around the world. What's going on in Europe as opposed to the reaction here in the States?
Well, it's pretty quiet, to be honest, and countries left, right, and center in Europe are really trying to do their best to stay away from this. And even Britain, which was very much at the forefront of the 2003 invasion, is saying that it has no plans to launch any kind of military intervention, and saying that if something is required, then America will have much better resources and better placed assets to do that. So Britain is not going to be getting involved, at least for the time being. On the other side of Europe, Russia says that it warned America a long time ago that something like this would happen. That's the kind of message that Russia often puts out in circumstances like this. And in between, maybe drawing down a few staff and making a few evacuations from embassies in Baghdad. But in the main, really not much comment from Europe on this, and it's being left for the time being to see perhaps how it goes over the next week. But really, it's being left to America to figure out what to do next.
A very different response from years ago.
Well, yes, and I mean, I think it's a similar debate to what we saw in Syria last year. I suspect this perhaps comes down to the same kind of sentiment. There is, I think, a fair amount of war weariness here after the last decade or so. And so at the moment, it's just not really being put up for discussion, and there's not really anybody saying that is wrong. You know, that there really aren't many big voices coming out and saying, come on, we need to be sending troops in here. The one person who is saying that is Tony Blair, name you may very well remember, the former prime minister here who led Britain into the 2003 invasion. He is very much of the mind that there should be some kind of military strike or some kind of action to stop this jihadist group in its tracks. He says if that doesn't happen, it will then find itself with a very comfortable base from which to launch terrorist attacks on the Western world. But Tony Blair is about the only person here in a reasonably high-profile position who is calling for that, and he himself is a very divisive figure here these days, given how the war panned out. He doesn't have an easy ride of it and is really pretty unpopular in the main, I would suggest. So if he's the best cheerleader the interventionists have got, then I suspect they're not going to get their message heard particularly loudly.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like his message is going to resonate, Simon, considering everything you talked about here at 580KIDO. Blair continues to say that the invasion was the right thing to do. He seems like the Lone Ranger. So essentially, the folks in Europe are saying whatever happens in Iraq, it's up to the Iraqis, and America wants to go jump in, with the exception, I guess, of France, so be it.
Yeah, I mean, and it will be down to the U.S. at this rate. These countries here just aren't interested in this. And I think for whatever reason, you know, the argument made by Tony Blair and other interventionists is that, you know, and I think President Obama has touched on something similar, is that you don't want these militants gaining a foothold somewhere from where they can fight Western countries. But for whatever reason, I don't think that connects with the general population of most countries. I think the sort of general war weariness wins out over it. And in the main, it's just a situation where politicians don't want to tread on the toes on a subject like this when they can turn their back on it and say that it's America's problem. And there is an argument, I suppose, to say that if you're talking about a few isolated military strikes, then it could be argued that America is best placed to sort something like that out. And Washington and Baghdad, you know, Washington and Tehran and Iran are Baghdad's main allies. So it would make sense, perhaps, for it to start like that. And then for the time being, Europe very much on the outside.
What about Turkey? Do they have any influence, considering they're a member of NATO?
Well, I mean, the Turks are very much involved in this, in that a number of their diplomats were kidnapped by these insurgents last week in one of the northern cities, which is a pretty extraordinary move for those insurgents to make. Turkey does have a say in it, but it's, as far as Europe goes, it's on the fringes, really, and it's not going to cut any mustard, really, with Britain and France and Germany, you know, the really big players over here.
Simon, any thing we should be looking out for this week?
Well, I mean, this is these insurgents have swept across with quite breathtaking speed, so I think it remains to be seen how this goes in the next few days. Now, there were reports today that they closed in on a town called Bakuba, which is about 35 miles from Baghdad, and that's as close as the fighting has got to Baghdad. And if they were to take somewhere like Bakuba, as we understand it today, it did fall into militant hands, but then the Iraqi security forces recaptured it. If they were to get into Bakuba, then they've in theory got a pretty much straight run at Baghdad. Now, if that was to go, then that's a whole different crisis. But for the time being, I think there is optimism that Iraq is capable of holding on to Baghdad. So maybe you wait and see what happens in the next few days. It's still very fluid, this, and it's still evolving.
Simon, we appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, Kevin.
All right, our great friend Simon Owen joining us live from London, exclusively here at 580-KIDO. Now, this is where you come in at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Where we have the president now saying it's time to bring back the troops. The president putting in 275, at least that's what he's admitting to, special operators to go in there and to train the Iraqis. Now, didn't we spend $25 billion at least, training the Iraqis? Now we're bringing our troops back in. Your thoughts on this? Is this Vietnam all over again? And when we think of our troops at 580-5436, 580-KIDO, I can't think of the brave men and women from Idaho that did serve there and their sacrifice. You remember this.
We're so appreciative for each and every person out there and that's dedicated some time to thinking about us or sending us something.
I just miss my family. I just miss my wife, Megan, and my kids.
We are over here trying to better the world.
Well, I love everyone. I miss them very much. God bless.
I just really miss my wife and my kids. Basically, it's just Kayla Livingston, Mallory Livingston, McKenna Livingston, and Bryce Livingston.
We miss you guys as much as you miss us, and we can't wait to get back.
We all miss you. We all want to be home right now.
You don't know how good you have it. Life is really good at home.
My wife, Sandra, and my two beautiful kids that I love them and miss them.
Hi, honey. I love you, and I miss you so much. And to my special boys, Nathan, Tyler, and Jonathan, Mommy loves you, and I miss you very, very much.
I miss you all. And I wish I could be with you.
I have learned patience, tolerance, and love.
I miss you so much, and we'll be home soon.
I love you all, and I miss you, and I'll see you soon enough.
See y'all soon.
You know, I hear that song again and again and again. And for a lot of us on our way into work with our cup of coffee, with the kids, it's a concrete reminder of what our troops did, our brave troops, with the Idaho Army National Guard, with the reserves, with the active duty folks that did their time. And now we have the unraveling of the situation. Let's face it. Isn't this just a precursor to bringing back the troops? Aaron in Nampa, good morning. You're on with Kevin Miller, 580KIDO. Good morning, Aaron.
Hi. Hey, thanks for having me. I certainly disagreed with the neocons from the beginning. I would echo Pat Buchanan's opinion a few days ago that if it had not been for Wilsonian neocon idealism that came from the Bush administration, that Iraq would not be in this situation. Nobody likes Saddam, but in terms of, you know, returning to a foreign policy more in line with George Washington and the founders, I just think that we really need to reevaluate what our role is around the world.
Well, and, you know, as a Buchananite myself, I would agree with you. On the other hand, here we have this whole thing going to heck. What are we going to do? Do you buy the argument that this will be the Al-Qaeda training camps for future 9/11s?
Well, I think the answer is that we build Fortress America. And that means we defend our borders. We have, essentially the military protects us rather than the military policing the world.
Aaron, thank you for the call and the great insight. Appreciate it. All right. Quick on the trigger there, Aaron. Yeah, you're welcome. All right. 580-5436. 580-KIDO. On one hand, you say that it is their wars, not ours, echoing what Pat Buchanan is saying. On the other hand, you have Lindsey Graham saying that these guys are going to get us. This is another launch pad for September 11th type activity. So we must go in there. And quite frankly, as humanitarians, as people that love individual freedom, even if we are distracted by the goofy World Cup. Think about this. You're having people being beheaded. You have people being shot in cold blood. The atrocities going on, war crimes. You have Europe. It's fascinating what Simon Owen said at 580KIDO. They're standing down. They're standing down. And this is why presidential leadership matters. This is why you have to have life experience before you take office, because you have to deal with these things. We'll talk about it next, and your phone calls at 580-5436. Now time for traffic at 580-KIDO.
John Hannity, weekday afternoons at 3 on 580-KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Our unique connection to the U.S. men's soccer players stems from the team's composition. The roster is a reflection of America itself. It's diversity, but yet it's unity.
Dempsey cutting inside the box. Dempsey's in! Dempsey has to post it in! The U.S. has scored!
Another reason I love soccer, you don't have all the advertisements you're in the game. It's a free-flowing athletic contest.
U.S. wins 2-1 in dramatic fashion.
And when this thing is all over on July 13th, whoever wins will be a true world champion.
Well, I guess the NFL doesn't count. Exactly, Slim. Kevin Miller in the morning. Repeat after me. Na-na-na-na-na. Anyway, 580KIDO, your World Cup inoculation station. Well, I can't speak for the station, just for myself. And look, I think it's fascinating that America is embracing globalism. Who would have ever thought that the country of Ghana was so important? Or what's going on in Brazil and Venezuela? I mean, don't we have enough distractions with football, with basketball, with baseball, that we have to run around and watch these guys in the baggy shorts with the black socks? That's a great fashion statement. Kicking a ball through a net? Just a thought. Everybody else is down with the World Cup. And I know what people are going to say, Kevin, why are you so negative about the World Cup? It's good. It's funny. Can anybody, you know, tell me any of the players on the team? Well, sure, there's Skippy McGee and there's Timmy. Come on, if Harry Reid likes it, there's got to be a problem. I just, you know, here's another thing. Would the World Cup be successful if college football were going on right now? If the even without games, if the Broncos had their summer camp, their double sessions, would anybody be covering the World Cup? I suppose it passes the time now that the NBA is over. And I like this, a true world champion. Really? I don't think anybody could beat the San Antonio Spurs. I think they're the true world champions. And in football, hey, we're the only country smart enough to have professional football, for that matter. So I think that the Seattle Seahawks are the true world champions. And it's not so bad not being down with the World Cup. I don't feel so bad. It's amazing that people are just going, let me have some sweetener in my coffee. All right, coming up next, Sheriff Mack. He's back. We'll talk about the Bundy Ranch, the lands, and the Constitution. How exciting. It's either the Vavazuzu or Sheriff Mack and the Constitution. Now, you're not going to hear that anywhere else. There's probably a reason why. Plus, Kevin Miller hate mail if you missed it in the 6 o'clock hour. Let's get you to traffic now, 5-8. Coming up next, Fox News on the radio. Then we'll talk about, where we're going as a country. Sheriff Mack joins us. We'll take your calls, by the way, as well. Kevin Miller, good morning. Serving Emmett, Idaho.